This is the Realm of Agape Christian Church.
Let's go to Romans 8, 1. This verse of scripture is going to help stretch us into two parts. This is a journey. Romans is a journey. The whole book of Romans is like a journey. So we're in Romans 8, 1, the good part. Skip through a whole lot of iffiness and contrariness and bridging ourselves to get right. And when the Holy Ghost comes and we, submit to him, good things come about and we're in the good part. Romans 8, 1. I'm in the King James Version. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit. Most virgins will have a capital S, Holy Spirit. Amen. Not our little spirit, amen, but the Holy Spirit. We got to walk in him. Amen. Father God, I pray that you open our eyes and minds and hearts to receive the truth of your word. Make us right from inside out. We know you're able, God. In Jesus' matchless name, we claim this victory. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, amen. We are continuing a journey to be revived. Amen. God is regrouping and recouping. It's a form of revival. Resuscitation. Amen. Cardiopulmonary resuscitation. CPR. I was trained in that. I told the kid, you know, they were acting like they're so sick. One boy got so dramatic, he tried to fall on the floor one time, and the kids, you know, because he trying to control the class that way, the kid was like, he's on the floor. I said, no worries, I'm trained in cardiopulmonary resuscitation. So I walked slowly. I said, what that means is I have to give you the kiss of life, blow air into your lungs. I will reach down and clear the path in your mouth and blow into it. He said, that's okay, I'm good. I ain't got it. I said, yeah, you better sit yourself in that desk. Stop playing around in here, amen. I taught the lesson as I approached him, and he got the point real quick. You're a good listener when you want to be. All right. But God is trying to do that in our midst. Give us some spiritual cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Breathe into me, Lord. Breathe upon us the breath of life. Who gives the Holy Spirit? Jesus does. Amen. He breathes freshly. As he ascended, he breathed on them. And they received the Holy Spirit. God needs to what? Breathe again. Breathe on me. Holy Spirit, come on in. Amen. Jesus is really the one that breathes. I know the hymn says, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. He's a wind, and he's like a wind. But we have to look at him as he really is. The Holy Spirit is God. We don't say that enough, do we? The Holy Spirit is God. Amen. Stop treating him like a thing. He's electricity that helps me shout so that people will know I have the Holy Spirit, then they will, you know, treat me good in the clubhouse. I mean, in the church. You know, he's a badge of honor. That's all he is, the Holy Ghost. He's energy to dance to some beats in the house of God. That's all he is good for. Speaking some tongues, I don't know what I'm saying, but people hear me saying it, so I'm in the upper echelon in spirituality in the church. You know. But we thank God that's not who he is. He is God. Amen. He has a personality. Can the Holy Spirit get upset? Yes. We vex him from time to time. Amen. We turn a deaf ear to him. He gets perturbed with us. My God. But he stays the course because God doesn't quit until the job is what? Finished. And sometimes we preempt him because we're stubborn and rebellious. The day we hear his voice, we ought to not harden our hearts, but we can. And we could go astray and fall away. Out of the peace for sure, all the way somewhere in trespass land. We don't want that kind of journey. That's a failure. God is about victory. True grace enables us to experience what? victory. But we got to diligently seek to serve Christ as Lord. That's a mouthful. Diligently seek to serve Christ, the anointed one, as what? Lord, not some idea. This is not about ideology. This is about a relationship with the one and true living God, our creator. Christ Jesus came to walk along our side and teach us on into the kingdom. Thank God, by the time he gets to our dead corpse on the ground, we should revive. Amen. Like that little boy did in my class. Amen. Keep talking till sense comes in our mind. Let this mind be in you. That was also what? In Christ Jesus. See, the objective here is not to only accept what Christ did for us, but also to truly experience the effects of what he did for us personally. It's on a personal basis. But he works with us, each person, fit jointly together as lively stones, moving in cahoots with the voice of God from heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we obey him, and the Savior, like a shepherd, what? Lead us. And we do the things of God. We perform the things of God. We commit to, depend on the move and power of God. And things are accomplished through God in Christ Jesus by the Holy Ghost. Amen. So you cannot live saved successfully on your own merits. Christ has to be the living source that makes that happen. Only he can cause us to experience firsthand the victory of true grace. Let's deal with that today, and God willing, next time. The victory of true grace. God made me title it that way. True grace. Why do we need that adjective? Because there's some false grace, right? There's greasy grace. Amen. Folks slipping and sliding, falling. And can't get up because the Holy Ghost didn't pick them up to act a fool again. Amen. He didn't pick me up and turn me around and place my feet on a slippery ground. That's not how my God works. The God I know and serve. See, if it was the God I know and serve, he wouldn't be, amen, helping you to slip and slide and act like a fool. But your feet will be shod with the gospel of preparation of peace. Beautiful are the feet of them that, amen, bring the gospel. God, amen, makes us have a certainty in our step and stance. Why? Because we sat long enough at the feet of the rabbi to get the substance and the character that we need. And the character comes from the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that's the gist of being right in God. The Holy Ghost speaking in you. And when he speaks in you, he's creating in me a clean heart. And doing what? Renewing a right spirit. There's a difference. Creating in me that which wasn't there before. God is the God that brings to life that which wasn't even there before. Let there be. Create in me. A new man is born in me. Create in me a clean heart and what? Renew a right spirit. Yeah, the spirit is there, but we were still born. He has to renew it. He has to bring in the power from heaven. Cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Resuscitate me. Bring me back to life. Breathe in me, Lord. He has to do that. Then victory will happen. That will be the true grace. Grace is power to live right. Amen. So we will observe the following thoughts in the course of this message. How to live a Christian life based on Romans chapters 6 through 8. You should not read Romans 6 unless you're going to read 7 and 8 also. Don't read 7 unless you go back and read 6, 7, and also go on ahead and read 8. Don't just read 8, the end of the story. You got to read 6 and 7 too. Amen. All three go together. So we're going to look at how to live a Christian life based on those three chapters. Why Israel is set aside based on Romans 9, 10, and 11. Sometimes we only read 9 and we get, some of it. Read only 10 and we get some of it. Read 11 and we get some of it. Read 9, 10, and 11. Then you'll know why Israel is set aside. We're also going to deal with how to serve God based on Romans 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. So how to serve God, Romans 12 through 16. The first three chapters of Romans reveals how sinful we are born. Without the salvation plan of grace working in our life, chapters 12 through 16 describe the blessed state of being a holy representative for God. And the middle part, the bridge chapters, I call them, chapters 4 through 11, show us the way Christ made to bring us back to this intended latter end, which is a soul fully conditioned unto holiness. God works on us, but we could stop his work. You ever notice how construction seems to go on forever and ever and ever? They're still fixing that part of the sidewalk. Wow, they've been doing that for 5 years, you know, seemingly. That road's still bumpy, and they still have all those signs up, work being done. When is it going to be done? We are just like that. We have a nerve to complain about that. We are sometimes worse than that. God is like, you are still spiritually 5 years old, but you're 80 years old in the chronological. There's a problem there. There's a what? Disparity. God needs to help us to grow up. But we need to help him help us to grow up. God is saying, work with me, people. Help me to help you. Amen. But we could tell him, nay, Lord. And that's the stupidest, most eternally stupid oxymoron ever. No, Lord. Seriously? It was he that made you. What did you do? Wake up one day, I'm going to create myself. No, it was he that made you, not ye yourself. Your job is to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. That's what we are supposed to do. Fall right in line with the creatorial dynamics of the mind of Christ. He came to create in me a clean heart and renew, resuscitate me, bring me to life, regenerate me, renew a right spirit within me, my God. Let's look at the landmarks that we will deal with in the course of this message, which I will have to split up. But landmark number one, we'll deal with that today, at least. How to live a Christian life. And then later on, part two, most likely, we can deal with landmarks number two and three. Number two is why Israel was set aside. And landmark number three, how to serve God. We need those three landmarks dealt with. So let's look at today. Landmark one, how to live a Christian life. Thank God. Don't forget, this is the victory of true grace. So we're looking at this little segment here, subtitle, how to live a Christian life. Let's look at Romans 6 for that. In Romans 6, there are three main phrases that serve as a threefold foundation to strengthen our revival, bringing each of us the victory of true grace in needed areas of our lives. We have to do these three things. We have to know. K-N-O-W, right? Got to know something. You have to become intimate with something. Know. Then you have to reckon. God helps you recognize, right? And then you have to yield. People like getting knowledge. Sometimes enough to recognize things that should be done, thought about, whatever. But they don't always what? Yield. See, that's the problem. So let's deal with know. Knowledge, right? To know. You must intimately know that Christ died for you. People don't realize the eternal story. of our being. We get part of the story. I heard a man in a video said the Bible is the stupidest book ever written. My God, he does not get the point. I pray that God, in his miraculous way, can, amen, soften that hard heart. What gives you a hard head? A hard heart. It's not just your head. You're doing what your heart told you to do, which is why you shouldn't follow your heart. There's no scripture that says follow your heart. I heard God say guard your heart after it's been saved. Guard it. I heard him say something about, and if you infer it, you got to train it. Amen. So that it does the right thing based on what? The Holy Scriptures. But you can't what? Just follow your heart. The heart is a thing that receives stuff. And you can make it do stuff. You can condition it to think a certain way, to have passion for a certain thing. That's what it is there for. Amen. But you're not supposed to thrive on that. You can feel stuff in your heart, good, but you better have enough mind to think through. But I love him. What, you gonna marry all of them? Eve and Adams? You can have Adam and Eve's, because men lose their way. I got a wife, but I got a dime piece on the side over here. You shouldn't be having no dime piece. Amen. Marching for dimes. Remember that? People were marching for dimes, walking so they could get money to help, you know, the sick and infirm. My God, I don't have to march for dimes, right? When I got dollars at home. Amen. Verses 3 through 5 and verse 10 in Romans 6 says, do you not know that all of you have been baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Because he had to pay a price, right? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death. That's what baptism is a picture of. So that just as Christ was raised from the dead, they lift you up out of the water, don't they, when you get baptized? He was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. That's what baptism is a picture of. Amen. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And the 10th verse, I'm in a New Revised Standard Version, by the way. The death he died to sin once for all. He made one payment, and that did it. For the life he lives to God, right? He's living it unto God. Jesus answers to God the Father. Jesus the Son answers to God the Father, right? Thank God. He's showing us how we ought to do that. So, church, you must know that you died in Christ. But just as important, Romans 6, 8, in the same version, but if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. It's about living, which brings us to the reckoning. Reckon, you got to reckon. Reckon means work out or do what it takes to make provisions for the intended outcome to be realized. So reckoning means you're realizing something. You could have an unrealized book. You wrote it, but it's not published yet, right? It's not realized. There has to be a reckoning. There has to be a publication, right? I made certain that Lisa knew that she was the only girl for me, and I pray that I'm the only guy for you. I said, I am not talking to anybody like this. And I waited for her reciprocation. I was waiting. That was a cold moment or two. She waited 3 hours. No, she didn't wait that long. It was a couple of seconds. She said, me either. I was like, woo-hoo. Let the praise begin. Thank God, because I'm a one-woman man. Hey, cash flow positive. HIV negative. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. One woman, man. She's all a woman for me. Amen. They try to duplicate, you know. I said, well, my Lisa, likes the same thing. Why you got to tell me at the job I'm talking about? Why you got to tell me you like candles while you bathing? I don't want a picture of you bathing. I said, my wife likes candles too. Most of my hobbies are centered around her. I know she likes the scented candles, so I get different ones, different sizes, and she has Candle-rama. So don't bring me your drama. I fix it every time. They be bringing me what they do, what they like. I said, well, Lisa does too. Wow. One tried to put me in a corner like, save people don't know about SEX. And then she's like, oh, Reverend, you shy about that, right? I said, I don't blush. God is not blushing about that. God created that. Why should I blush? God created male and female, created he them. And God, who God puts together, no man put asunder. God put my wife and I together, and we go forth in marital bliss. We enjoy this. She said, I'm so glad you're happy with your life. I said, yes, I am too. Stuff I've had to preach in the hallway through my career. Thank you, Lord. Stop in the name of agape before you break your heart. Think it over. Hoo hoo. Amen. That's how it's been, and that's how it was, and has been, and will be. They get you more. I'm a more of a sugar daddy now. Retired? Oh, you got bucks coming in. Woo-hoo. Be my sugar daddy. Nope. Lucy, I got to preach harder. I got a new chapter of preaching to do. Hallelujah anyhow. And I will preach. At least know me. I will tell you. I'm like my daddy. I'll tell you like a T-I-S is. Why should I eat bologna when I got filet mignon at home? I don't got no beef with you. I'm vegan anyway. Thank you, Jesus. Keep them out of there, right, Mama? Hallelujah. Whoa, hallelujah. You got to realize. See, I have reality. You want a reality show? I'm going to show you the reality of God's eternal wisdom. Amen. I'm going to do that for you. Thank you, Lord. But I thank God for this reckoning. Romans 6:11 says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. I have to show them I'm dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's in the King James Version. Watch in the New Century Version. In the same way, you should see yourselves as being dead to the power of sin and alive with God through Christ Jesus. So you could get it a little better when you hear the grammar of today. That brings us to yield. Amen. I'm going to stop after I do the yield part. Amen. But we have no reckon and yield. See, I could do all of that and not yield to the Bible and still walk with the dimes and side pieces and whatnot. Not just romantically speaking in a, you know, social relationship with somebody, but you could do that spiritually, tipping out on God, doing idolatrous stuff, putting stuff above prayer, putting stuff above having a hunger and thirst for the word of God. Amen. The devil wants to get in your spiritual emotions and take that over so you don't hunger and thirst for God anymore. Oh, I wish we could just go on and pray a little longer. Well, when I'm in the presence of Jesus, I don't want to leave. He wants to take that away. Make you into someone who's looking for elsewhere. You know, something else is going to tickle your fancies now. Somebody else going to fluff your pillow for you at night. My God, loose out of here. I don't want nothing you got. Because every time I gave in, I got hurt. My God, we don't want nothing the devil got. That's why the hymnologist said what? Yield not to temptation. For yielding is what? Sin. But each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward. Look ever to Jesus. He will what? Carry you through. Hallelujah. Yield. This means we must let go of our life and let God live through us. Amen. You must pick up your cross and follow Jesus. Amen. In other words, do what you must do to be his disciple or his follower. Worship the new resident in your heart. And that's who is it supposed to be? Christ Jesus, the Lord. He's the new resident in your heart. He's living in there. Give him the accommodations he needs. Amen. He shouldn't be fussing about the decor. The decor is off. You shouldn't be saying that for 10, 20 years, 30 years. You've been in church. Jesus still fussing about the decor. He's rising to a warfare about the decor. He should be rising to his rest and be blessed with your praise as you worship him. You're supposed to look for opportunities to make his countenance shine upon you in a peaceful manner. This is the victorious life we find here in chapter 6. However, we have a gruesome reminder of what it looks like to try being a Christian through the flesh. See that? You might want to roll your windows up, church, as we are about to journey through this terrain of shame in Romans 6. The pitiful plight of selfish ruin is found in Romans 7. Yes, we cannot live a victorious life on our own in and of ourselves. There are 38 I's. The word I, personal pronoun I. There are 38 of them in the 25 verses of chapter 7 in Romans. Guess what? The Holy Ghost is never mentioned. You check it out. You find it, I'll give you $1 million. You're not going to find it. Amen. Why? The flesh will always try, but will never succeed on its own. You can do a fleshly work. It's going to blow up in your face in a minute. Just give it time. Time is in the hand of the prophet. Jesus don't have to overprove that. You're going to be in trespass land. My God, bruising yourself, making your bed hard. My God, you didn't have to go that way. You could have let Jesus carry you on in and through and reach the green pastures and live beside the what? Still waters, allowing him to what? Restore your soul. The scriptures teach us to walk in the Holy Spirit and not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're born and shaped in iniquity and in sin that our mothers conceive us. That does not give us an excuse to do whatever we feel is right to do. Just do it. If it feels good, do it. That's the devil's Bible. But we're not supposed to give in to the lust of the flesh. There was an English Bible scholar named Dr. Griffith Thomas of old. Once he said that, quote, "It is not hard to live a Christian life. It is impossible," end quote. Well put, sir. You can't live it in what? The flesh. God has to breathe upon you the breath of life, and you get regenerated, and he gives you the power to live a what? Holy and separated life in this present world. Amen. The Apostle Paul said it right, and we're about to be done. Galatians 2, 19, and go to 3, 1 in the NLT. It says, "For when I tried to keep the law," you know, tried to learn everything to do what's right, "I realized I could never earn God's approval. So I died to the law. I gave it up." He died to the law, right? "So that I might live for who? For God. I have been crucified with Christ. I myself no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So I live my life in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not one of those who treats the grace of God as meaningless. For if we could be saved by just keeping the law, then there would be no need for Christ to die," end quote from Paul to the church at Galatia. He taught them right so they could avoid greasy grace. Amen. You will gain more holy interest to experience this victory in your life the more you are in the company of those who want to do the same. Are you hanging with folks who want to do that? My God. Or are you with those who are engulfing the greasy grace buffet? You have to be around the true saints of God. You have to worship with your fellowship of believers on a consistent, faithful basis. Amen. This will increase your momentum in the process of becoming Christ-centered, as opposed to remaining self-centered. One more thought. We're done. You know how to spell sin. Spell it. Ready, go. S-I-N. Stay in the middle longer. S-I-N. the eye of sin must become the eternal circle of God's love. That's why wedding rings are this circle, eternal love. I got to love Lisa in her face, in the place we call home. And when I'm out of the place we call home and I'm not in her face, I'm in another place called work or wherever else that might be. I have the eternal bond of love. God put us together spiritually. Lisa and I got naked spiritually first. She could see me. I could see her, who she was emotionally, psychologically, amen, spiritually. That's who I saw in the mall that day. My God, I said, whoa, man. There she sits in yonder bench. I was Romeo. Then I approached, I floated over. No, that's not how it went. Amen. I'm adding to it a little bit. But I did see her in the spirit, just clean, like a nice, clean, freshly baked bread. Just no flies got on it, nothing. God protected, smelled good, nice butter all melted. It was good. Just a new bloom flower, just pretty. Nothing crushed it or nothing. It's all nice and good. She looked like that. A brand new ring, shiny, no sweat and stuff got on it yet. God blessed her to look like that. My ruby, I found her. My pearl of great price, I found her. Hallelujah. The eternal circle. So God let us talk. We were talking to each other's soul and spirit and mind. We ain't say, I love your body. I love your body. We wasn't doing that, no. That song wasn't even out yet, but yeah, there was other songs. Please, all them disco songs, whirly. It's all about the bedroom, you know, crazy songs. Songs you listen to two measures, and you could have a sensual experience with yourself from listening to two measures of them songs. And that's how the devil gets you hooked on stuff. Couple of looks, couple of listens, and you're in there. Young people don't need to be looking at all that stuff, going on dates, looking at all this, you know, 50 Shades. You don't need 50 Shades of Hell. You got enough shades of hell right here on the earth looking around you. Amen. People wearing strings. As soon as it gets 68 degrees, strings are out there. Everywhere, strings. My God, what happened to the garments? They left part of their dress. They left 99.9% of their dress home, and they wearing strings. I don't need a movie. It's right there. Rated X is right on the beach. They drinking these drinks called sex on the beach and actually beginning to do such things. Sick stuff. So they get naked first, and then they try to go backwards. Why don't we slow this thing down? What? Sex is for marriage. Locked in the marriage thing. Then it comes. We got naked first spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, to see each other. God, if this raggedy, let me see it. She must have prayed that prayer. Then we had little fights here and there. The longest we were apart was 3 days. I was 3 days and three nights in the whale. My God, tossing and turning. How did I get here? I had pride, too. I got pride. You got pride. All the fallen children got pride. I say, I ain't calling. She the one was wrong. Let her call me. I don't know. She might have had some of that in her Lisa way. He need to call me. My mom and daddy raised me better than that. We was all. And then I think I did a Ralph Cramden, and the Lord just melted me. I'm walking around. He said, you better call. You know that's the one I help you to have. You better stop it right now. The Holy Ghost just ripped me down. Ding, 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 ding. I knew the number. Yeah. What's up, girl? Yeah. What you got on? No, I didn't do that. No, I was like all, you know, repenting and everything. I ain't too proud to beg, sweet darling. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But thank God. We forgot what we were fussing about. What was you mad about? What was I mad? I don't even know what I was mad about. I was like, I'm sorry. It's all good. She said it's all good. I said it's all good. Thank God. Thank God. But we didn't live together. Some Christians were saying, y'all don't live together. Nope. She'd go home to 96 Washburn with her parents, a grown child with her parents, a virgin. Amen. And I was not in my parents' house anymore. I was a newly freed man, but I was paying my rent. I went to my apartment apart from her, and I meant it. Thank you, Holy Ghost, be giving me these things. He brings them. Anyway, so they were like, you not living together? I said, what? I thought we were all saved around. What are you talking about living together? What? And these are preachers. What y'all teaching? How y'all counseling, folk? Try it out first and maybe it'll work. You know? Talking about sensual compatibility. If it don't work the first time, you got to keep going till you find the one that's the one. What? You'll be surprised who are teaching these things. Big names. Oh, yes. But I tell you, no, we preach the Bible, God's holy word. And we don't put the cart before the horse. And then say, we got to slow this thing down. Loose out of here. I tell young people, you get naked emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually. That's it. Mary and Joseph was that. I have not known a man. That's what she told the Holy Ghost. Thank God. After we were pronounced. That's how my brother said, my little brother. You was, oh, my brother, pronounced. Go ahead, pronounced. We were pronounced. Amen. All the world knew we were pronounced. And you could count when Sienna was born. It was 5 years after that. Amen. We have the math of holiness. Holiness math. Now she 5 years old, then we got married. No, that's an unholiness math. That's different. Amen. Huzziness. I mean holiness. Holiness without will no man see the Lord. Amen. Thank God. So God blessed us like that. That's the kind of woman I wanted. I wanted her father there. He could say, time to go home. I say, oh, this is good. It's all in my vision. That's all. It's cool. Amen. But then when we helped mother with her papers and stuff, she was getting her master's late in life. I said, yeah, let him stay. He's helping with my paper. I said, I wanted to say, yeah, that's right. I was like, yes, sir. She said I could stay, sir. Yes, sir. You know, and then me and Lisa had more time rubbing elbows on the couch. Ooh, you got an elbow. I do, too. That's the only body part that we had, the elbow thing. Amen. Thank God. My hip might have touched with the pants on her hip a little bit, and we write in the paper. That's it. Intimacy. You know, it's like holy intimacy. But I thank God I've been with this woman all this time before, amen, my career. Married. Went into the job married. God wanted me to be married before I got up in there. Lord. But I thank God for this eternal circle. See that? Eternal circle of God's love. It's the letter what? O. So spell sin again. S-I-N. Now put the O in there. Take the I out, put O in there. What is it? S-O-N. See? The O will turn the shame of sin into the peace that the S-O-N can bring. And then he's going to what? Bring victory into your life. Hallelujah. Thank God. That's the journey we got to take. We got to get past chapter 7 and make a rest stop at chapter 8. And that's where the Spirit will fill you with the rules of heaven. Chapter 8 is beautiful. Guess what? We find the word Spirit, capital S, used 21 times in 39 verses. God is good. The 39 verses represent like the Old Testament, 39 books in the Old. But God will come in with his 21. How many sevens is that? Three, right? Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Three sevens. Three completions. Three complete persons in one. God will bring what was old and what make it new. See? But the word I is only used once in two positive testimonies, though, based on the outcome of living in the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:18, it says in the King James Version, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. So the Holy Ghost is in you, see? In Romans 8, 38 and 39, King James, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, see all the outside stuff, nor things present, nor things to come, all the outside stuff, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in whom? Christ Jesus, who is what? Our Lord. What is not listed? Yourself. Can you separate yourself? Yes. You can decide, I don't want to follow Jesus no more. I'm turning back. And God can't put you in a chokehold and say, no, you're not. I'm keeping you in here. You in the hollow of my hand, I'm keeping you in here. He don't imprison anyone. Does he imprison us? You're able to what? Leave. Wow. That's how God works. It's volitional. You have to what? Make up your mind. That's why we have these mind songs. I got my mind made up and I what? Won't? Won't turn back because I'm going to what? I'm going to live with my Jesus. Amen. Thank God. That ends landmark number one. We're going to go to landmarks number two and three and a little bit more next time. But let's stay persuaded. Nothing's going to separate me. I'm going to keep my mind made up. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, for this word. I pray, oh God, that you will bless us. Help us to hear the Holy Ghost beseeching us to turn from certain proclivities that are not conducive to the holy way of God. We know you're able. We thank you. We praise you. We give you the glory. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen.
We of the Realm of Agape Christian Church pray that the Holy Word of God has richly blessed your soul. To send prayer requests, use the contacts page of our website, www.roagape.org. We need your continued prayers and financial support to maintain this ministry. You can also find a secure means of donating on our website. God bless you.